Good morning, St. Peter de Beauvoir. It's Pentecost Sunday, and some churches wear red. And my own church, everyone's wearing red today. And my last church, we all released red balloons on Pentecost Sunday, 50 of them, to mark the 50 days since Easter. Pentecost 50. And why do we wear red and release red balloons? Well, it's because we notice the tongues of fire and focus rightly on the Holy Spirit. But today, let's look at the church and a world in need and how the Holy Spirit makes a difference. I'm going to be looking at our reading from Acts chapter 2. And whilst many of my sermons typically have 3 points, today I have 2 points plus another point. I know that makes 3, but I truly believe it works better as 2 points and then one. My first 2 points are about the unity of the church and the inclusivity of God's grace. Then my other point is about how heaven makes those two things real on earth. So firstly, the unity of the church. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 22, we heard it earlier, begins, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." Even before the gift of the Spirit, Jesus' believers and followers together and in the same place. They were being obedient to his ascension command. Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do not even try to live the Christian life without the Spirit of God within you, Jesus had said. Well, by now, Acts 1:15 tells us, they numbered 120 people, all together and in one place, waiting on God. It's a beautiful picture of church unity. 120 people in a 10-day prayer meeting, all looking to God for his promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 133 says, "How good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity." God loves it when his church is unified. And the place we're most unified is when we're standing together on God's word. From Acts 1 to Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what the church is doing. Waiting for the Holy Spirit, listening to Jesus' word and heeding it, and waiting for the Holy Spirit. I guess today what that means at St. Peter's is stay together here until the new leader comes that God has promised you. This is not a time to leave the church or give up being regular in worship. It's not a time to fall out with each other or fall out over anything in church life. But rather it's a time to know each other first as brothers and sisters in Jesus, praying for those in church you disagree with or find difficult. This is such an important aspect of church life, exemplified perhaps mostly in the Eucharist, where we share in the body of Christ, where though we are many, we are one body because we all share in the one bread. Let me urge you, as I believe this passage does, to seek church unity before personal victory. It's so important that we do this because we want to reflect my second point, the inclusivity of God's grace. Verse 2 of our reading, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where the 120 were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, just as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were in Jerusalem at that time God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together bewildered, because every one of them heard their own language being used." God shows no impartiality. In fact, Jesus told us he came for the Jews first and then the Gentiles. And as he prepared to ascend into heaven, he told his disciples that once the Spirit came, they would take the good news of his resurrection to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, the Samaritans who they hated, and to the ends of the earth. Well, 10 days later, Jerusalem is filled with worshippers and tourists from all around. And every one of them heard the good news of Jesus in their own tongue. Such was God's gift to his creation. And how did they hear it? Through the mouths of a unified church, filled with the Holy Spirit. At the end of our reading this morning, we heard these words that were preached by Peter in Acts chapter 2, finishing up, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." St. Paul, when he writes to the Romans, uses the same phrase in chapter 10. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone means anyone. Anyone who calls on God's name will be saved from fear, sin, evil, and death. God's grace is totally inclusive. All of creation is his, and Jesus died for every single one of us. Sometimes, and to some degree fairly, the church is accused of being exclusive, homophobic, racist, sexist, and yet the call on the church is to be unified and inclusive. Just as God is three persons in unity and inclusive to the point that everyone who calls on his name will be saved. How can we, as mere humans with all our hang-ups, our emotional scars and our inherited fears, be unified with people unlike us and welcoming to those we find difficult? This is my other point. My third, if you like, but my other point. The church is called to be unified because of the inclusivity of God's grace. And there is only one way the church can really live this calling and reflect God's grace and his glory. And that is when the Spirit of God inhabits those who believe and trust and follow his Son Jesus Christ. This is number three, how the Holy Spirit makes a difference. The 12 and the 120 disciples were waiting on God 10 long whole days, with no idea when or how the Holy Spirit would come upon them or what it would mean. We celebrated the Ascension 10 days ago. That's how long they've been waiting, since Jesus has ascended into the heavens. If we had a day, if now I took a second for every day, this is what it would be like. Odd, isn't it? 10 seconds of silence in the middle of a sermon. They had 10 days to wait. And then, on the day of Pentecost, the final day of the Feast of Weeks, God pours out his Spirit upon them, a sense of liberal overflowing, a drenching. And then it happens. The Spirit comes on each of them, and every one of them is speaking in foreign tongues. The Spirit is proclaiming Jesus through their lips. The Spirit brings about salvation and church growth, and we're told that that day 3,000 people were added to their number. Bill Hybels said the local church is the hope for the world. And yet we watch the news day by day and we see a broken world. India, the biggest provider of vaccines, struggling to care for its own. Palestine, Israel in flames, their children in hospitals. Afghanistan still teetering after 20 years. Youth crime and violence on the streets of our borough. The world does not need a church that looks inwards, falls out with itself, or ignores the cry of those unlike it. The hope of the world is a church on fire with God's love for the world, a love fueled by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit and power that rose Jesus from the dead and has fueled and grown the church from 120 to 3,000 on that first day to 2 billion people today. I, this morning, on Pentecost Sunday, invite each one of you to receive again the Holy Spirit. Let me pray over you now. Come, Holy Spirit. Inflame each one of our hearts. And may our unity as a church family be a sign to the world of human hope and God's inclusive grace. Use your church here in De Beauvoir Town and across this city and around the world to change the world and hasten your kingdom, that all may be gathered in, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, because it's what he wants and it's where his glory is seen, in a transformed life, in a transformed community, in a changed society. Come, Holy Spirit, and start with each one of us. Amen.